From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Ebb.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Thursday, September 10th. Today on the podcast, the largest nonprofit media merger Vermont has ever seen. First, today's headlines.
The Department of Health reported two new cases of COVID-19 on Wednesday. The cases are in Bennington and Franklin counties. The department has identified 1,656 cases of the disease since the pandemic started. One person is hospitalized and 58 people have died.
As students return to school this week, the president of Vermont's teachers union says a lack of substitute teachers will be a problem this year. Vermont NEA president Don Tinney says there was a shortage of substitutes before the pandemic, and now teachers are supposed to stay home if they run a fever or have other symptoms.
So we're going to need a greater need for substitutes at a time when we have a shortage of substitutes.
Tinney says schools are also facing shortages of nurses and bus drivers. Superintendents have expressed similar concerns.
Governor Phil Scott and the governors of New Hampshire and Maine are pushing back on a 10% tariff on aluminum that was reinstated by President Donald Trump last month. The governors say it will inflate the cost of everything from washing machines to a can of beer. Trump says that Canada has undercut domestic aluminum producers by flooding the U.S. with cheap product. But Scott says the tariffs will hurt local manufacturers that are already reeling from the pandemic. The three governors sent a letter to Trump on Tuesday asking him to reverse the tariff.
Vermont State Police are investigating the theft of 500 pounds of hemp from a business in Moortown earlier this week. The Agency of Agriculture says the entire crop of hemp at Fancy Plants was chopped down and carted away in the early hours of Monday morning. The 50 hemp plants were cut at the base and taken away in their entirety. The agency says the theft appears to have been premeditated and involved multiple people. So it's election season, and David Zuckerman, the Democratic and Progressive nominee for governor, was on Vermont Edition yesterday with host Jane Lindholm to talk about the state's response to COVID-19. He commended Governor Phil Scott's handling of the pandemic, but he also criticized his gubernatorial opponent for the situation in Mississippi, where the majority of Vermont inmates who are held at a private prison there contracted COVID-19. Here's what he said in response to this listener question from Nancy in Putney.
Hi, David. I'm just calling because I'm very concerned about the 84% positivity rate at the private prison in Mississippi where our tax dollars are going to house Vermonters. And it seems like they've handled it very poorly, obviously, if the entire place is ill or at least has the virus. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the renewal of the contract with CoreCivic that's supposed to come up October 1st, whether we keep our people down there for another year in this den of COVID activity. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the question. You know, the prison situation and the health of those individuals is heart-wrenching and completely was avoidable. Again, you know, back to compliment the governor, I think the policies put in place in Vermont were quite good. And I have to applaud the governor for that. But here's where I think having a Republican governor could have been so much better for Vermont. Had our governor worked with other Republican governors and Democratic governors for that matter, and really spoken out about the president's lack of leadership on COVID-19 and said, here's what we're doing in Vermont. The science is very clear and the health impacts are very clear that prisons are going to be a festering bed of COVID-19 before we know it. There should be an emergency declaration by the president that all of these prisons and units across the country that are privately run must follow really strict testing protocols and entry protocols, as was set up in Vermont. I don't know why the governor didn't organize that way, which would have helped protect Vermonters. I've seen the governor distance himself from the president on occasion, but not in a very organized and forceful way with others to say, the president is completely out of control and needs to stop. And I think having a Republican governor would have been an opportunity for the last 4 years to really set that measure and tone, which he didn't do. And had he done it with the prison situation and said, you must, Mr. President, protect citizens of this country, citizens of Vermont, and citizens of other states from this incredibly dangerous disease. Many people in prison have underlying health issues. Many are older. All of the you know, challenging circumstances that make people more at risk of death, and there just was no leadership there. Now we're stuck in this situation, and I would very much review that contract and either not sign it again, look for another prison that would have much better protocols with respect to prisoner safety and health and living circumstances, or have to continue to seek alternatives. And again, work with other governors to put pressure on these private for-profit prisons to really put the health of the prisoners above their corporate profits on Wall Street.
Zuckerman also spoke about the return to school and his thoughts on getting what would be his first flu vaccine. That full episode of Vermont Edition is online at vpr.org, and the show is on the radio weekdays at noon.
All right. So, Anna, it's been an interesting day here at VPR, and we have some news now about the organization that we work for.
As they say, some personal news.
That's right. Vermont's biggest and wealthiest nonprofit media organizations are merging. That would be Vermont Public Radio and Vermont PBS. Our colleague John Dillon has more.
The boards of the two nonprofits voted Wednesday to formally ratify the deal. But Marguerite Dibble, the chair of the Vermont PBS board, says the merger has been studied for more than a year. After an intensive look, Dibble saw the potential of working together as one media organization.
It all sort of came together after looking through it very thoroughly to check all the boxes and feel like we could create a future where we are able to do something that's truly nationally innovative and create a public media company that is able to serve a community in a way that is truly unique and truly outstanding.
The deal would create a statewide news and public affairs service with extremely deep pockets. According to public tax filings, Vermont PBS, based in Winooski, has assets of $61 million. The organization sold one of its broadcast spectrums for $56 million in 2017. VPR, based in Colchester, has $30 million in assets, including property and equipment. Asked why donors should continue to contribute to nonprofits that have so much money already, Dibble had a ready answer. Contributors, Dibble says, gain a sense of ownership in the organizations.
I believe in that shared connection to the public. I believe in maintaining that sense of ownership that I have as an individual who is served by these stations. And I think that through that public ownership is how we're really able to build a continued trust and a continued mission of service between the organizations.
VPR President and CEO Scott Finn, who will lead the combined organization, says the objective is to build off the two outlets' strengths. He says VPR's journalism and classical music programming will complement Vermont PBS's skills in video storytelling. He says when VPR held a four-month, 14-county listening tour in 2018, the overwhelming message was to do more, including local journalism. The merger is an opportunity to do that, Finn says.
There's been a decline of more than 40% in the number of journalists in Vermont in the last 20 years, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. 40%. And so what we heard on that tour was that people want VPR and I think Vermont PBS, public media, to step in to help out to do more. And so that's what this is all about. I think this is our response to what we heard on that tour.
One media expert with ties to Vermont says the state should benefit from a combined public media organization. David Mindich chairs the journalism department at Temple University in Philadelphia, but before that, he chaired the journalism program at St. Michael's College in Vermont. He says more resources should drive more in-depth reporting. The two nonprofits say they will reach out to their audiences as they plan for the future. Mindich says the more outreach, the better.
I love the idea of reaching out to the people of Vermont and see what they need. You know, that's something that's been done throughout the country and in my adopted city of Philadelphia. There are journalists who are all over the place talking to people in the community and finding out the kind of coverage that they need and they want. So it would be great if Vermont Public Radio and PBS does that.
VPR Scott Finn says no staff layoffs are planned as a result of the merger. The merger requires approval from the Federal Communications Commission and the recognition of tax-exempt status from the IRS. The anticipated launch date is July 2021. For VPR News, I'm John Dillon.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld and Sam Gail Rosen. And the episode of Vermont Edition was produced by Lydia Brown.
If you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, interesting stories, you can email them to us at thefrequency@vpr.org. Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.